B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I feel like I should have some papers or something. No papers? We got no papers. I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got my coffee. I got a microphone. That's it. Do a show.
I can give you Jones's open.
Jones has an open?
What happened last night?
Oh.
We can just
that's all morning show. You work the morning show, you get all kinds of papers handed to you. That's some easy living right there. If it's, whether it's D.O.B. or Lockhart or Mason or Tracy, those guys, they just hand the show to you. You just
we try to save a couple trees on the midday here.
You know, I've gone the other way. I've had probably... how many computer printers have you owned in your life, McCohen? And you're a young man. What are you, in your 30s?
None. Yeah, never had a printer.
You've never had a printer?
No.
Joe Murray, how many printers have you owned in your life? Just one? I've probably owned... I don't know, maybe three. And you just get to the point where you just, you know, you just junk them. You know, it's like, it's not worth it. I don't even know where to buy the ink anymore. I don't care. This last Christmas, I went and bought another printer. Probably the fourth one I've ever bought. And I just bought another one. Because every once in a while, you need to print something. And I got, but I did this time get the Eco printer.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, you just fill it with the bottles of ink. And it's been nice. It's for the kids, really. The kid, they need to print stuff out for school occasionally, McCone. And you got to have a printer. Otherwise, you're going next door or you're going to the library, you know. I got to text my next door neighbor. Hey, can I, you know, email you this.
I need to print some stuff.
This essay, which don't read it. Ugh. But, you know, can you do it? So I'm all done. But I got another printer. So I've actually gone the other way. I've been printing more at home.
Yeah, so no kids for me. Not a lot of essays coming out of the McCone apartment right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no real reason for a printer. Yeah.
Don't get one. Don't get one. You're doing the right thing. All right, so it's Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Tim McCone here for the duration today. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Red Sox ownership, the picnic table thing. It's the picnic table thing, right? The little, you know, chin wag at the picnic table, I believe they call it.
It's just uncomfortable.
I am not even sure it's not sponsored. But if it's not sponsored, I am surprised it's not sponsored by now. It's such a thing at this point.
Sponsored by Lunchables.
Are they Lunchables or Snackables? Are those two different things?
They are.
What are Snackables?
I don't know, but Lunchables are like that's the yellow box.
Well, yeah, right. And you get various lunch-like items in there.
Yeah.
But aren't Snackables a thing too?
I don't.
All right. I am surprised it's not sponsored. We will be carrying it live, though, as John Henry sits and you know, is grilled by the likes of, I don't want to goof on Dan. Dan has actually been very good in his call-ins. He's calling us today at 1:36 to give us the report from Fort Myers. Dan's been very good and very, you know, honest about in his assessments of what the Red Sox have done so far.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been a total, you know what washer of the Red Sox and what's happened here in the last couple of weeks. I'm just excited for the likes of like Dan Shaughnessy to be there and ask some questions, especially when you go back to what John Henry said about Dan to Dan in his email a few weeks ago when he was asking about, well, you know, did you let that slip about the luxury tax? Was that unscripted? And John Henry said, well, unlike you, I am honest about Red Sox issues. Let's see how honest you're going to be today, John. You going to be honest about that Verdugo broken back and his off-field troubles? You're going to be honest about not getting much in return for Mookie Betts and David Price? Are you going to be honest about your number one priority in this offseason was to get yourself where you wouldn't have to pay anything in the luxury tax? Are you going to be honest about that? Because that's what it is.
100%, right?
There's no to me, after finding out about Verdugo, there's no other conversation to be had about it.
No, I want to hear about that. I want to hear their thoughts on this investigation that's supposedly going to be coming out in later next week. And like you said, too, if he sits down and says we're all about winning championships this year and going for it this year, you know, he's not being honest, because obviously when you trade, you know, the best player that you've had in the organization here since, you know, Yaz, maybe. I don't think you're exactly all in on this season. I think it's hard. That's a hard sell. So yeah. It's
Yeah. The competitive nature of this season is a hard sell.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb and say that. Yeah. Fair.
But we're doing this wrong. We're not starting with the Red Sox.
Okay.
We're gonna turn it over to the Red Sox at 11 o'clock. We've got some hot NBA action to talk about from what happened last night and really all weekend long with that All Star game. Shoosh. Are you kidding me? You want to talk about a game last night, McCone? Come on, kid.
That kind of got me a little hot and bothered. I was pretty excited about that. That's the first time really a fourth quarter like that has had me interested in an All-Star game in a really long time.
Well, let me ask you. Who were you rooting for? Team LeBron or Team Giannis?
I was a Team Giannis guy.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah, got to be, right?
I was disappointed last night, obviously. Left disappointed. But.
You wanted to see Tatum do well.
Yeah.
You know, and Giannis is a likable player, despite what he's going to do to your Celtics in the postseason.
Yeah, rip your heart out. Yep.
Yeah, despite what, you know, how he's going to take over a game and once again demonstrate that the best player on the court wins a best of seven. Whatever team has the best player will win a best of seven series. It's really just a bunch of nonsense and conversation. It really.
Unfortunately.
It comes down to two things: rebounds and who's the best player.
Yep.
Who's got the best player on these two teams?
Exactly.
Oh, the Bucks do? Well, they're going to win the series. Oh, it might go seven. They might be down 3-1, but they'll win the series. We've seen it all too often with LeBron James. We saw it last year in the finals with who was the best player on the floor last year in the finals?
Yeah, it was Kawhi Leonard.
It was Kawhi Leonard. That's why the Raptors won. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. But I was a Team Giannis guy last night too. Now, in terms of rank, if you will, please. The nights of the NBA All-Star Weekend, the Friday, Saturday, and then the game on Sunday. What was the best? What did you enjoy the most? You know, rank them 1, 2, 3. Skills, dunk, game.
So this is pretty pathetic, but the dunk contest still turns me into an 11-year-old kid. I still get really jacked
up. I'm sorry, and I forgot about the world game.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Let me
celebrity game, too.
And the celebrity game, which I, spoiler alert, don't pay attention to any of it anymore. Mostly because I'm not an 11-year-old, and I do not get off on the dunk contest whatsoever. And I stopped watching the celebrity game when I could not identify 80% of the celebrities that were taking place. Now, you can prove me wrong.
80% is generous.
You can prove me wrong by telling me who the celebrities were this time, and I think that'll be a fun game. I think we should do that coming up in the next break. You tell me who the celebrities were in the celebrity game, and I'll tell you legitimately whether or not I know them. In any way, shape, or form.
So I know we were saving this for the second hour, but I thought Stephen A. Smith's team got away from the pick and roll a little early in that game. No?
Save it for the next segment.
Okay.
You just tell me who the celebrities were.
All right. Okay.
But 1, 2, 3. So yeah, what was the dunk number one for you?
Yeah.
The dunk contest.
It was. It could have been better, but the dunk contest still gets me excited. And then, look, I thought the All-Star game and in the reaching the, what do they call it, the Elam system? Is that what it is?
Is the Elon Musk,
yes,
scoring system.
That's the one. Yeah, the target points. I thought that was fun. I thought it made it interesting. And the fourth quarter was, it was actually an enjoyable watch. Most of these All-Star games are brutal. I got to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of them in previous years because it's just whatever. But last night was actually enjoyable. I thought it was competitive.
McCone, I have no problem with them changing it because how it stands sucks.
Right.
There's no reason to watch the All-Star game. No reason to watch most All-Star games.
If there's
something that is not good, yes, of course you should change it. You know, unlike, I don't know, say NFL regular season. We'll get to that later. We got a lot to get to on the show today. Jones was right. Hardy and McCone have a lot to get to today.
No question.
But the NBA All-Star game sucks. So change it. Yep. All right. Add 24 to whatever amount the team with the lead has after three quarters. They played each quarter independently. Then they added up the number of points, and then whatever team had to get to 157. That was the magic number,
and it wasn't determined
until they had played three quarters last night. Now, were there winners of the first three quarters? Like, had Team LeBron won one and Team Giannis won two? Is that what happened?
It was LeBron won the first, Giannis won the second, and then the third quarter was tied. Yeah.
So why does it matter if you win a quarter or not if you're going to have a winner at the end of the game based on reaching points?
They were giving money to charity.
Okay, so it's all charitable.
Yes, for the kids.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Thank you. All right, so 157 was the number to play to last night. And if you were watching it, I turned it on like fourth quarter. I had no idea what had happened earlier in the game, but I watched El Camino last night.
What'd you think?
I watched one episode of Breaking Bad during the day, and that it was amazing how much I was able to reset my knowledge of the entire series by watching one episode of like the final season. And two of the things in that episode that I watched played into the movie El Camino last night. It was great. If you're a Breaking Bad fan, you'll love it.
Can I be honest with you?
Love it. Sure.
I think Breaking Bad's a little slow.
Okay.
I think it's a little slow. I think it's a good show.
You're not wrong.
It's a good show. Not in my top three.
There are times when it's very, very slow. And I got a lot to get to in the show today. The thing with Breaking Bad is you can tell they did not think that was going to be a like seven season series when it started, because
no,
so much happens in the first like five episodes.
Yes. Yes.
He goes from mild mannered high school teacher to like meth madman in 3 hours of television time. And once it becomes a hit, by the middle of season three, you're having bottle episodes where they don't leave the lab for 60 minutes and chase a fly around, you know? So, yeah, the pacing of the entire series is questionable. But anyway, I turn it on, and I'm watching the fourth quarter, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is actually kind of cool. There's going to be a final shot. There's going to be something that ends this game in an exciting fashion. And true to form, the NBA, like many other enterprises of this size, can't get out of its own way. And here come the challenges. Here come the replay reviews. Here come James Harden and LeBron James arguing like children with the officials in an all-star game, more so than you would see in a regular season game. Now, I don't mind seeing some fire and some passion from the players in an all-star game, but watching these players argue with officials on things that are clearly inarguable. You fouled him, dude. What are you talking? It's this underlying current of like, I know I got away with it. It's just other forms of cheating. You're just trying to cheat, and you're angry when you get caught cheating and all this other crap. And it slowed the game down to a crawl to where the last 2 minutes of that All-Star game last night, which was supposed to be better, it was supposed to be fixed, it was supposed to be more exciting, was more painful than the end of a Sweet 16 round in March Madness. It was insufferable.
No, you're not wrong about that. And I really don't know why they're having reviews in All-Star games. Doesn't really seem necessary to me. And I know you want it to be somewhat competitive, but at a certain point, you got to be like you said, just in terms of entertainment value, isn't it supposed to be just entertaining? You know, watching reviews, not necessarily
how are you going to get all bunged up about a call in the last 2 minutes of a game where you didn't play any defense for the first three quarters of the game, where, you know, you had half of them were like fast break points, and then no fast break points, not one, were allowed in the fourth quarter. It wasn't even a real game. So shut up, Harden, LeBron, anybody who argued a call in that fourth quarter. Shut up. You didn't even care about this thing yourself until about 15 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So shut it, honestly. But then the way it ends with a free throw and Anthony Davis trying to convince the world that he missed the first one on purpose to put more pressure on himself in front of his hometown crowd to win the game. I missed the first one on purpose. Okay. There are plenty of children like McCone who like things about, you know, your game that other people have moved on from, but we're not all children. So we didn't all believe that. You probably did.
I did. I was, yeah. Hook, line, and sinker. Yeah.
All right. So where does the game rank? 1, 2, 3.
I would put it second.
Second?
Second.
Okay. So skills, world game, all that.
Yeah, kind of out on that stuff. All right. Out on the Friday night.
So let's see how many of the celebrities we can name when McCone goes down the list of celebrity players in the celebrity game.
All right.
And we'll talk about the dunk contest, which you loved, but there was some controversy.
There was some controversy.
Controversy in the dunk contest.
I got
contest.
Kind of a hot take on the dunk contest, too.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
If that's not a tease, I don't know what is. Yeah.
So much to get to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me tell you,
you know who this is, McCall?
Elvis is everywhere, man.
I have no idea.
He's in everything.
This is Mojo Nixon. And we are doing all presidential themed songs today, or musicians, I should say. Elvis is in Nutty Buddies, see? This is Mojo. Now, is this Mojo Nixon in the Toad Lickers, L-I-Q-U-O-R-S, or is this, I believe this is Solo Mojo.
It says Skid Roper here.
Okay. All right. This is obviously for Richard Nixon. So any suggestions you have, McCone, just shoot them right over to T-Bone, and we'll play them for the rest of the day.
All right. All right. All right. I got this.
All right.
People can tweet them in, too.
Go ahead and tweet the show. You want to tweet the show? At Zolak and Bertrand? Okay, that's fine. All right. Happy President's Day. So, McCone, first things first, celebrity game for All-Star Weekend. Who were the celebrities? And I will tell you if I know who they are.
All right. We're going to start with Team Wilbon. Captain
Michael Wilbon.
Yep.
I know him.
Common.
I know him. I know him. Common, the rapper.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to keep track of these and see how many I know. Okay? So far, I am 2 for 2.
First off the bench, Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny is also a rapper.
Wow. Good for you.
Well, Bad Bunny was part of the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I missed that. Hannibal Buress.
You missed Bad Bunny?
Yeah, I don't know how.
So it was Shakira, it was J-Lo, and then like two random dudes?
Yeah, and I didn't put the pieces together with Bad Bunny. That's
right.
On me.
I'm 3 for 3.
Kane Brown?
Hold on. There was another one you threw in there after Bad Bunny. Who was after Bad Bunny?
No, Hannibal Buress. You know that.
Comedian,
yeah.
Actor.
Yeah.
All right. Kane Brown?
Yeah, real musician.
Okay.
Country.
Oh, this is good. I can tell.
Yeah. This is right up your alley.
Basically, Lyle Lovett.
This is perfect.
Stop it.
You don't like
turn
it?
Turn it off.
Oh, all right. John Batiste.
Jean? J-E-A-N?
J-O-N.
Nope, don't know.
Yeah, the band leader of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Oh.
Alex Muffet. Moffat.
I believe that was a fringe character in Silence of the Lambs. And I believe that was the owner of the storage facility where they found James Gum's first victim.
You might be right about that, but that is not who was playing in the celebrity game, comedian on Saturday Night Live, so I can't give you that one.
Wow. We are approaching 500 now, 4 and 3.
Chef Jose Andreas.
Okay. Now we're at 500. I knew the first four. I haven't known the last four.
Famous Los.
Well, it's famous in the name.
Yeah.
That tells you something right there that they're not all that famous. Now, Famous Amos, I would know,
no,
but I believe he's no longer with us.
This is a social media influencer, Famous Los, so I'm not going to give you that one.
I still celebrate Famous Amos, I would say, on a bi-monthly basis by eating his cookies from the little snack shop downstairs. I love a
throw
Famous Amos
chocolate
chip.
Throw them in the microwave for like 15 seconds.
No, you don't put Famous Amos cookies
in the microwave. Absolutely, you warm them up a little bit, yeah. Give it a shot.
Like the hard, crunchy Famous Amos cookies?
Soften them, yeah, fantastic.
I'll try it today.
Yeah. Chelsea Gray. WNBA. I'm surprised. Lift Shats would end on that.
Made a lot of money off Chelsea Gray. He has. He loves betting WNBA games.
And then finally, and I have issues with the way that they phrase this, but Quentin Richardson.
Sure.
Average player in the early 2000s. They wrote him as NBA legend.
Okay.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
I still finish below 500. That's it? That's 11 people.
That's one team. Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Team Stephen A. Smith.
All right. Here we go.
Captain Chance the Rapper.
Okay. I couldn't point him out in a crowd, but I know who that is. So I'll go. I'll give myself a yes.
He's a rapper.
Yes.
Taylor Bennett.
Chance the Rapper is a rapper.
That's confirmed.
Taylor Bennett, I do not know.
Rapper, recording artist.
Okay.
LaRoyce Hawkins.
Nope. 2-2.
Chicago PD actor.
Nope.
Anthony Spice Adams.
Nope.
Former defensive tackle turned comedian. Mark Lazary.
Nope.
Co-owner of the Bucks. An owner played in the celebrity game?
Could you imagine, like, buying a ticket for this? I mean, who's the biggest star?
Do you think there were, like, scalpers out front for this game, too? There's no way.
All right, keep going.
Ronnie 2K.
Ronnie 2K sounds like a social media influencer.
You're right about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give myself credit for that.
Yeah.
Couldn't point him out, but, I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Caitlin Osani.
Caitlin, is she the one that just married J.J. Watt?
I don't know about that. She's a gymnast.
Oh, no. Don't know her.
Lil Rel Howery, actor, comedian.
Little or Lil?
Lil.
Okay,
Lil.
I know Little Roll the Howery, yeah.
No,
but
that's
not
where they
Lil.
Got you. This is a different one.
Okay.
And Darius Miles.
From Hootie and the Blowfish, of course. Who's Darius Miles?
Former NBA legend as well. Averaged like 7 points a game for his career, but we're going to call him a legend. Yeah.
So I am 8-13 on no versus didn't know.
Not exactly a star-studded lineup.
No. Who's the biggest celebrity in the celebrity game? I mean, is it Stephen A. Smith?
I just looked it up, too. That gymnast was the one that went viral from UCLA. Remember she had, like, a crazy floor routine?
Yeah.
Maybe Hannibal Buress, you think?
No. Yeah, no. If you're talking walk down the street, Stephen A. Smith is going to get recognized more than Hannibal
Yeah, I
Buress,
guess that's fair.
I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Although Hannibal Buress was on Seinfeld, wasn't he?
No. Was he?
Well, Tom would know. Tom is the...
I'm trying to think who you're thinking of.
Well, all I know is that I didn't watch 1 second of it, and I didn't watch 1 second of the dunk competition, but Lord knows you did, McCone. Now, do you want to do your hot take on the dunk contest first? Hannibal Buress wasn't inside. Who am I thinking of? Another comedian.
Jerry Seinfeld. No?
There was another comedian. You know what? Yeah, I'm not gonna look so stupid when we figure it out. who had a bit part in a couple of Seinfeld episodes. You won't think I'm so dumb then. You know what? I wouldn't have recognized Hannibal Buress. I know his name, but I can't think of anything that he was in or seen him work. Was he in Get Out, Hannibal Buress?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right.
Here's what we're going to do. We are going to find out what it is that is stuck in your craw about this dunk contest, and then I'm going to let you really go off on it after the break. But what is it in a nutshell that has you hot and bothered over the dunk contest?
Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity by the NBA.
A missed opportunity. Okay. Oh. I know there was controversy. The judges got together afterward. They wanted it to be a tie after two rounds.
There were some shenanigans by Dwayne Wade, it seems like. Yeah, absolutely.
But somebody apparently did not go along with the plan and gave someone a higher score so that it ended.
Yeah. Yep.
And we will discuss that a little bit, but I really want to find out what the missed opportunity was.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll do that after the headlines, though. All right. All right. It's Hardy and McConan for Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Fall, who is 7'5". You dunk over Taco, you win.
Yeah,
you win. You win.
He's 7'5".
You dunk over Taco, you win. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Did you dunk over Taco? I mean, did you? I saw a couple of highlights from the dunk contest, and I saw the who was it that dunked over, attempted to dunk over Taco Fall?
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, well, he didn't.
No, he really didn't.
No, right. I mean, Taco had to bend his head down and then kneel a little bit so that he could get over him. I mean, there's you dunk over someone by jumping over them.
Yeah, you clear
him. Didn't jump over. He didn't clear him. It's an unreasonable ask. Of course you didn't dunk over Taco Fall. Why do that? You didn't do it. He didn't do it. But there was a missed opportunity in the dunk contest, according to Tim McCone. It's Hardy and McCone in for Zolak and Bertrand today. So what was the NBA missed an opportunity. What was it?
I'm the only person that probably takes the dunk contest seriously, and that's probably more of a reflection on me than anyone else. But the fact that Aaron Gordon and Derek Jones were the two guys in that dunk contest, and look, it actually was a pretty good dunk contest, considering, because, you know, in years past, it's kind of been a dud, and that one really wasn't, but it's just frustrating because as a sport as a whole, there's zero buzz around these contests anymore. Like, they spent the whole weekend talking about Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins and their dunk contest back in Chicago, right? And why do we remember that 30 years later before I was even born that it happened? Because it was two of the best players in the NBA.
Right.
And so you've got this transformative superstar who is the best dunker in the game right now in Zion Williamson. And he's not participating in the dunk contest. And so if you're the NBA, don't you want the guy that everyone wants to see right now taking part in the dunk contest? It would be must-watch TV if Zion Williamson was in that dunk contest Saturday night.
Okay.
And instead, you get nerds like me, and that's pretty much it, because it's Aaron Gordon and Derek Jones, two guys that nobody's really ever heard of before.
Okay, here's why Zion Williamson wasn't in it, because they can't afford him to get injured again.
He played in the game Friday night.
It's different playing in a game and playing and going in a dunk contest and doing all kinds of silliness that is going to leave you more apt to injury. Why do you think guys don't participate in the home run derby? Same thing. If they're dealing with any kind of an issue, they're not going to go out there and do some repetitive motion over and over and over again. And in a dunk contest, those guys are.
That's such a lame excuse.
It's the only excuse.
To McCone's point too, he was doing stupid dunks in the game.
You're doing,
too.
Yeah, you have more of a chance of getting landing on some guy's foot and rolling an ankle or blowing out your knee playing in a game than you do jumping 8 times during a dunk contest.
I think people would be more willing to accept an injury that takes place in a game, even in an all-star game, than they would an injury that sidelines a player that happened in the dunk contest.
If I ever see, yeah, you know why no one cares about it? Because you don't have big names in the dunk contest. If I ever see someone go down in the dunk contest with a blown out knee, fine, maybe I'll reevaluate the situation, but no one's ever walked away and gotten stretchered out during the dunk contest. That's never happened. No one's given the thumbs up as they're getting wheeled out off the court because they blew out their knee. It doesn't happen.
Well, maybe Taco, he may have hurt his neck after that guy, quote unquote, dunked over him and bent his entire torso forward at a 45 degree angle.
I think it's really a bigger reflection kind of on sports right now too. I really do. Because I think you lessen these events that back in the day actually meant something and you had people participating in them. Like, no one of note has really taken part in the dunk contest that people have cared about since 2003 when LeBron said, nah, I'm not going to do it. and suddenly it wasn't cool?
No, the Dwight Howard, that was the last one I paid attention to. That was watchable.
I guess maybe I'll give you that one, but for the most part, superstars that have come into the league, like even back in the 90s, Kobe Bryant, when he was a first or second year guy, took part in the dunk contest. So people of big names and that had hype around them actually did participate in these events. And then starting back then with LeBron, doesn't happen. And so why do we care about these events if the superstars don't care about the events? And it's the same thing in the regular season. Like, why do people not tune in to regular season games as much anymore? Why are ratings down? Well, because of load management, right? And, you know, you're missing out on guys like Kawhi Leonard sitting out nationally televised games that as a consumer of the product you would want to watch, and then all of a sudden you tune in and Kawhi Leonard's not playing in that game. And load management is something that, you know, the more articles you read, it's like some teams don't necessarily even believe that load management really works or is a thing, but you can't actually say that because if you're a franchise that doesn't take care of their players, you're not going to be a destination franchise. So you just have to do it. It's just part of the NBA now. And it's the same thing in baseball. Like, I remember I was talking with McCarthy about this yesterday. Like, Chris Sale back in May when he strikes out 17 against the Rockies in 7 innings, going for the record. The only reason you would care about a Red Sox game in May is for something like that, and they take him out because of a pitch count. And yeah, I know, you got to protect him and pitch counts, and all the sabermetrics guys are going to yell at you and people that care. But ultimately, Chris Sale's going to get hurt anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And the only reason you would care about a game in May is to see a record go down. And he had an opportunity to do it. And what do? You take him out. There are no hitters in baseball anymore. Why do you not care about the regular season in baseball? Because nothing exciting ever happens in baseball anymore. It doesn't happen.
No. And you're right. The analytics have gotten in the way of allowing some cool, organic things to happen.
100%. Absolutely.
But what value is there other than just a momentary, like, wow, he did it? If there's no value in the game and there's no value to the player beyond that momentary elation that you get as a fan.
I would argue there are, though, because people remember that Clemens struck out 20 twice. And you remember that he did it in 96. And I went back and looked at it, and in 96, Clemens threw 151 pitches in that game. That's probably not going to happen these days. But still, you remember that. Kerry Wood when he struck out 20. Like, those are you would remember a game when Chris Sale struck out 20 against the Rockies. And as someone that watches sports, I was locked into that game. And then it just kind of deflates the whole thing when you take him out. And again, like you said, you know, it's not going to happen these days. But also, you know, when I was a kid and everyone was roided up to the moon and hitting 500-foot home runs, that was a lot more exciting than math. And that's really all baseball is now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And What kills me about it more than anything, McCone, is the fact that they take these arbitrary numbers and use them for pitch count numbers, like 100. Oh, 100 is a lot. Says who?
Right.
It's a nice standardized, you know, even number. But, you know, 100 has become something that these guys pay attention to, regardless of the science and anything else around it. It's like, well, who said it's 100? Why isn't it 107?
Yeah.
Why isn't it 92? Well, because it's 100. You know, it's 100 pitches. You know, you got to get him out of there. Well, why?
It's the same thing with Strasburg a few years ago when the Nationals were going for it, and they're like, well, he's coming back, and he hit his innings limit, so we're not going to pitch him in the postseason to keep him healthy for next year. And then a month and a half into the next season, he's hurt, and you just blew your opportunity in the postseason because you wanted to keep him healthy because he hit that arbitrary inning.
200 innings.
Yeah, that's it.
But who said?
Shut him down. Yeah, exactly.
What? Reevaluate. Take a look at him. Is he good to go?
I just think you're missing a lot of organic opportunities, and whether it's the dunk contest with Zion Williamson or it's, you know, load management in the NBA or pitch counts in baseball, you don't see no hitters anymore, and if you do, it's the four pitchers combined to throw the no-hitter. That was exciting, huh? Or, you know, it's Chris Sale going for 20 strikeouts in a game against the Rockies in May. Why else would you care about a regular season baseball game in May against the Rockies other than for a moment like that? You wouldn't. You don't care about it. So,
all right, so missed opportunity from the NBA, and it's prevalent in all of sports. All over sports. Keep them out for no good reason.
I feel like an old man yelling at a cloud right now, but it's true. I don't like the direction we're going in.
Well, did you think who won the dunk contest? I don't even know. Who won?
Derek Jones.
Was he worthy? Did he deserve to win? Or was there
as a classic millennial take, There should have been two winners. It should have been a co-champion situation. They were both deserving. Yeah.
Bless. Common, one of the celebrities in the celebrity game, he was good enough to introduce all the players at the All-Star game in a rhyming format.
This, by the way, was the number one moment of All-Star Weekend.
Well, we are going to relive it. Common's introductions to the All-Star game when we return here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At some point, we're going to get into the Elam ending for last night's NBA All-Star game a little bit more, because it's kind of a cool story with how it came about. But before we do, players were... Oh, by the way, Linkin Park for... President's Day.
Spelled differently,
of course, but I appreciate the effort in there, T-Bone. Nicely done. Tweet your suggestions for President's Day themed artists or band names at Zolak and Bertrand, and we'll sprinkle those in throughout the day. Common, the rapper, he introduced the players last night at the All-Star game in a way that only he could. And let me tell you something. You combine art with sports. McCone?
Perfect.
Is perfect might be stretching. Was it magical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
We achieved some higher level of something last night, a combination of sport and art. It was like watching, you know, a floor routine in the gymnastics. It was gorgeous.
It was a where were you moment.
Yeah. Ice dancing, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yep. It was, well, listen for yourself.
Yo, let's meet Team LeBron. Okay. Making his second All-Star appearance. He runs the team like a mogul. From the Los Angeles Lakers, the coach, Frank Vogel.
See, he's rhyming.
Unable to play due to injury. But anywhere on the court, he can kill it. From the Portland Trail Blazers, give it up for my man, Damian Lillard.
Hold on.
That was a stretch.
Okay.
That was a stretch.
Well... some of the best rhymes don't rhyme at all.
Yeah.
My favorite rhyme, maybe in all popular music, is from NWA. Then I realize it's time for me to go, run out, jump in the vehicle. Right? That, there's art to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
you can get a rhyming dictionary and cheat your way through, you know, lots of rhymes. But it takes, you know, an Ice Cube lyric like that to make you say, ah, that's something special.
Kill It and Lillard, same thing.
Kill It and Lillard, same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're approaching Ice Cube level of artistry there.
When he heats up from outside, it's like a pressure cooker. First time All-Star from the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker.
Oh, see, what we can do, and what we can do here, McCone, is try and guess what player is coming up based on how he leads us into the rhyme.
Here's my question, though. Do you think someone from the NBA went to Common and were like, look, we need to spice up the intros?
Obviously.
Or do you think Common went to the NBA and was like, I got something for you guys?
Well, the NBA had, you know, so many things going on with this Elam ending and leaving the key players out of the dunk contest. Yeah. Really, really out of the box thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I want to give them credit.
Okay.
And I'd like to think they went to Common and asked for this.
But all right.
We don't know. All right, let's see if we can guess who the next player is going to be.
We knew he'd be an all-star from everything he's shown us, from the Indiana Pacers.
Come on. You're going to get there.
Wagner, Honus.
DeMontis Sabonis.
Oh, damn it. He's telling me Honus Wagner isn't an all-star?
No, not this year. Missed it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go.
Yeah. He got crazy skills that you can't overstate them.
Let's give it up for O'Neal, Tatum.
from the Boston Celtics, first-time All-Star, Jason Tatum.
I should have gotten that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he belongs there more than Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn it. Okay.
Representing the three-point range from the lane, he'll give you a dosage.
I can't come up with another thing.
Here's the other thing. This took a really, really long time to get through.
Well, the crowd is into it.
Yeah.
You can tell the crowd is getting off on this in a big way.
So I was wondering, like, too, like, is this something where, like, three names in, he could have just bailed and been like...
No.
Starting forward, Celtics,
Jason Now you're
Tatum.
Committed.
Yeah, you think you have to keep going?
Oh, absolutely.
The three-point range from the lane, he'll give you a dosage. From the Denver Nuggets, two-time All-Star, the Joker, Nikola Jokic.
Again, we're like five players in right now.
From the land down under, he's always all about winning. From the Philadelphia 76ers.
I love that the crowd has no reaction to any of these.
No.
They just don't care.
No buzz, yeah.
There's nothing.
Are you guys going to play this game yet or no? Again, I probably, after like the second name, I think if he bailed early on after like two names, he could have been like, yeah, that was totally, I didn't even realize that those rhymed.
Let me tell you, let me tell you my experience on a much smaller scale, okay? Because we do these in Hub headlines every once in a while. Yeah. We'll do the Monster Mash headlines, or we'll do, the song headlines. And there have been times when we started one and I just wanted to bail.
Yeah.
T-Bone probably remembers the one where even like Zoe and Beetle lost interest like halfway through it.
Like this just isn't landing.
And but you're already in.
Yeah.
You're in. You got to go there.
Yeah,
you got to
finish. After like four rhymes, you can't stop. But if he, even after the Vogel one, he should have known and been like, if I just stop now, no one's really going to know.
That was the first one.
After you said the Vogel rhyme out loud, he should have been like, this was a dumb idea. This was stupid.
Well, Common, he's a pretty cool guy, right? He should have asked himself, maybe in the lead up to this, is this going to be cool?
When he's like, Antetokounmpo.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? We'll have to finish it later. We got to step aside because they're assembling in Fort Myers. This is not a picnic table. This is an actual like presser room that they are doing. I thought it was a picnic table. No picnic table?
Yeah, it's kind of killing the vibe.
It is killing the vibe. All right, they're setting up for an actual press conference. Three mics, three bottles of water. So, John Henry, Chaim Bloom, Tom Werner?
Yeah.
Or Ron Renicki? John Henry, Ron Renicki, Chaim Bloom? We don't know. We're going to find out. We'll carry
Kennedy,
it live.
Probably.
Sam Kennedy? We don't know, Tom.
Darren
we don't
Bragg.
Know. We're going to find out live from JetBlue Park in Fort Myers. As Red Sox front office, let's just say, addresses the assembled media coming up here right after Tim McCone's Hub Headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Another great presidential themed artist here.
Yeah.
Jackson 5.
Love it.
Happy President's Day, McCone.
Happy President's Day.
Just big one.
Really so excited to be celebrating with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for you to make mention of the fact that if it weren't for me, you wouldn't be here all those years ago.
No, you're not wrong.
As we wait for the thing to begin down in Fort Myers. We don't know who's going to be there. Apparently, three people are going to be speaking. It's not a picnic table, normal thing. This is going to be a... or does the picnic table take place tomorrow? John Henry, I thought that was always like a Tuesday thing.
Yeah, I thought it was always on the picnic table.
Maybe they're looking forward to like maybe a slow news President's Day. Get this thing out of the way. Get out in front of it. There's too much talk going on.
See, now a classic Red Sox move here would be that John Henry knows this is going to be a tough press conference, right? He's got to answer a lot of tough questions.
Yeah.
So are those two seats for like Big Poppy and Pedro next to him? You know what I mean? Hey, guys, look at this.
Flanked by two of the greatest of all time. Yeah. Pedro, get in here. So as soon as that begins, we'll bring it to you here. But Tim McCone is here today because many years ago, there was a contest looking for the next Sports Hub talent. And we did a couple of them. One year, I forget who the first winner was.
McCarthy.
McCarthy won it the first year.
Yeah.
But as part of your final audition, you had to sit down and do 30 minutes of radio alongside yours truly.
Yep.
And you and I did it. One night it was downtown. It was at a bar. It was late. It was like a Friday or Saturday night, right?
Yeah. Yep. I was the second one to go. And then McCarthy went third. And then I got a bunch of texts from everyone being like, yeah, you didn't win. No shot. And so I knew going in that McCarthy had won. So I lost.
Right.
And then I was lucky enough to get an email being like, you can come in and still do headlines.
Right.
So really high bar here at the Sports Hub, obviously.
Yes. Well, you passed a multi-stepped and phased audition process in order to get here. We did it a second year, too. Who ended up winning the second year?
Sean Silver.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then they abruptly stopped the contest after that, which tells you the job that the three of us have been doing so far.
No, that was... You're irreplaceable.
Is that the way they went with it?
There are a finite number of positions available here. You, McCarthy, and Silver all earned yours, I would say, more so than anyone else at this radio station.
So the untold story, though, is that the first shift that I got here, first of all, I come in and they put me on with the hockey show. So I'm like 20...
I don't know that the hockey show existed when your first show.
No, it definitely did. I was like 23. I was absolutely terrified because it was my first shift on the Sports Hub. Big deal, right? And they stick me in a room with everyone on the hockey show was in that room that day.
Bob Beers.
So no one knows who the hell I am. And so Beers and Billy Jaffe was in the studio. They're all just staring me down, sweating, palms absolutely
both,
soaked.
Like both Beers and Jaffe, very welcoming, non-intimidating guys.
Exactly. I was like, oh, perfect. I'll just ease right in.
Yeah.
I get through it. Someone left the text machine up. I was like, all right, well, that was kind of nice. They said, hey, the new headlines guy sounds like he's fat. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. I was so rattled. You come in for the next shift afterwards, and I'll save that because it looks like people are coming up to the podium. But you weren't exactly warm and embracing either, so...
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside and let, looks like John Henry, Tom Werner, and Sam Kennedy?
Yep.
Take their places at the table here. Fort Myers, live from JetBlue Park. Here we go. Oh, you need me to fill more time. See, when you say, give us 10 seconds, Tom, that could that doesn't mean anything. So you want me to talk for 10 more seconds.
I said you were 10 seconds behind, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I see John Henry talking now for about 5 seconds. Now we send it to JetBlue Park, and we should be all caught up.
President and CEO Sam Kennedy, before we take questions, we're going to hear some opening remarks from John Henry. John,
good morning. This morning, before answering your questions, I'd like to begin by... And can you all hear me?
No?
We don't have... Do we have speakers?
Yeah, we'll have someone to fix them. We do have speakers. Right now.
I'd like to begin by addressing Red Sox fans directly about this offseason. We're used to challenging offseasons, but this one has been particularly challenging. So let me begin by saying that while they've been presented with an extraordinary set of challenges this offseason, those of us sitting here today know that our baseball operations department, under Haim and Brian's leadership, has handled these challenges extremely well. We are confident and optimistic, while at the same time cognizant of how all these challenges affect you, Red Sox fans. We feel responsible to face whatever challenges arise in a way so as to protect the organization and move forward for the long term, whether it's on or off the field. Before Tom or Sam or I ever dreamed of owning a Major League Baseball club, we were baseball fans like you. I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. My favorite player was Stan Musial. My heart would have been broken if Stan the man had ever been traded for any reason. Your parents or your grandparents surely felt the same way about Ted Williams and Yaz. So on one level, when I say I understand how many of you feel about this trade with the Dodgers, I know many of you, particularly our youngest fans, are disbelieving or angry or sad about it. I know it's difficult and disappointing. Some of you no doubt felt the same way in 2004 when we traded Nomar, who, like Mookie, was a hugely popular homegrown player. All of us in the organization hoped that we would never have to go through something like that again, but most clubs face similar dilemmas from time to time. I understand there's probably little I can say today that will change how you feel about this, but it's my responsibility to try. The baseball organizations we compete against have become much more strategic and thoughtful about how and where they spend their resources in their quest for titles. We cannot shy away from tough decisions required to aggressively compete for World Series. That is what led to this trade. Free agency plays into many decisions clubs like ours have to make. Today's players spend years in the minor and major leagues earning the right to be paid in a free market, earning the right to make choices. They make significant sacrifices to get there, and they deserve what they receive. Clubs also have choices to make in this economic system. It's a system that has a few imbalances, as do all economic systems. But it's a system overall that has led to labor peace and an amazing market for our best players. It's not the system's fault that the Red Sox ended up in this position. We were faced with a difficult choice. You can talk about dollars, you can talk about metrics and value, but in the end, even though we are consistently among the highest spending clubs in baseball, with this year being no exception, we have to make hard judgments about competing for the future as well as the present. Over the last two decades in winning four titles, along the way, we lost not only Nomar, but Pedro and Jacoby and John and Manny, among others. We no longer live in the Musial or Williams era. Players have rights they should have had when Stan and Ted played. Those two great players were victims of an unfair system, one that gave them no choice but to stay put. At one point, Stan thought about going to Mexico in order to be paid his value. He was offered $175,000 over 5 years to play in the Mexican League when he was making $13,500 a year. The Cardinal owner went to Mexico to try to stop it. In today's game, there's a cost to losing a great player to free agency, one that cannot nearly be made up by the draft pick given. We've seen examples of this recently. We at the Red Sox will remember this as one of the toughest, one of the most difficult decisions we've ever had to make. We too love the young man, the great, great smile, the huge heart, and the seemingly boundless talent he displayed here. We felt we could not sit on our hands and lose him this next offseason without getting value in return to help us on our path forward. We carefully considered the alternative over the last year and made a decision when this opportunity presented itself to acquire substantial young talent for the years ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So at this time, we can open questions. Just raise your hand. The microphone, so just raise your hand. Sorry, hand in front.
So I bring a question from Johnny Miller. He's in the hospital, and he wants to say hello. And he gets the first question. So this is John. You've addressed some of it. You know, Johnny says, the fans are irate about the Betts trade. Is there any reason they are wrong? And how is this not a salary dump?
Yeah, well, it's understandable that people could view this transaction as a way to rid yourself of some salary obligations that goes along with it. But as John mentioned, it was a determination that we needed to make as we went into the conversations with Mookie and his representatives. We had a hard decision to make, and we decided that it was in the best interest of the baseball operation to go forward with this transaction to get substantial value back in exchange for two great players. There is an economic system that we all operate under, and there are clearly certain advantages by resetting and getting under. But we've tried to be clear that this was not exclusively about the CBT and getting under that CBT threshold. There would have been other ways to have done that. You don't trade Mookie Betts to get under the CBT. We traded Mookie Betts and David Price and got back significant value in return. And as John said, we know it's painful. We know it hurts. We're baseball fans first and foremost, and we understand that there's disappointment, there's anger, and now it's our job to continue to do what we've done for the last 19 years here, and that's make every effort to win a World Series championship. We want our fifth championship. We're hungry for it, and this is the group that has been together for two decades working towards that goal each and every year.
John, would you identify this as a baseball trade or a trade about finances to your fans?
A baseball trade.
And I think it's hard for them to get their heads around, you know, Mookie Betts and David Price for three guys they've never heard of, one of whom has a stress fracture in his back. I mean, do you understand fans being questioning and irate about that?
Yes.
What should we tell them to do?
I said my piece. I don't know.
I think that obviously this is young talent who we have a lot of optimism for. My understanding is that hopefully he'll be playing very shortly after this. Alex will be playing very shortly after the season starts. But we've acquired talent that will be under club control for, I think, 17 years. And I think that we have to wait and see whether or not the evaluations of Haim and our baseball people are accurate. But I've talked to a lot of people outside this organization who are very enthusiastic about the talent that we've received.
Do you believe you guys are going to lose Mookie in the offseason?
We didn't know. We weren't sure if a deal that in Haim and BOH and the men and women in baseball operations decided was going to be valuable enough to go ahead and make a deal. So we didn't know, and conversations progressed throughout the course of the offseason. Obviously, we ended up consummating a transaction, but we weren't sure what would happen.
How would you respond to fans who say that a team with financial resources of the Red Sox trading a homegrown entity like Mookie is bad for baseball?
Well, we certainly understand, because we love coming to the ballpark every day and watching Mookie Betts on and off the field. So we understand, and we hear them. We're engaged in talking to our fans, whether it's season ticket holders, sponsors, community partners. And what we would tell them is, look, we have an obligation and a responsibility to put an competitive team on the field each and every season. We're trying to do that in 2020. We believe we have a team that can compete for a playoff spot. Ron Renicki addressed the club this morning and talked a lot about that. So we'd ask our fans to stay with us and get behind this club in 2020. No one is waving the white flag, but we need to go out and do it on the field, and that's what these guys will be prepared to do.
Sam, you more than anybody over the last several years has talked about growing the game in kids. That seems to be a pet project of yours. I've seen your name attached to that. a million times. Yet you traded away a player who's enormously popular with kids, the nickname, the talent, and so forth. Were there discussions, concerns about losing, I won't say a generation of kids, but a couple of years worth of kids won't be as attracted to the product with him gone?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, if you're parting ways with Mookie Betts, not only does that hurt your ability to compete in the present year, but it also hurts your ability to market one of the most important players in our game. But we made the tough decision to do it because of the value that we're getting back in return and because of how we think this sets us up to win our fifth World Series championship. And I can tell you, as a kid who grew up 1 mile from Fenway Park, the concept of being in a position to hopefully someday soon win our fifth World Series championship I'm not sure that's a concept I could have got my head around. So as a Red Sox fan, we want a winning, competitive club that is built to win multiple World Series championships as we go forward. And under the Henry Werner administration, over the last 19 years, we've won 4 times, and we're hungry for more. And I think kids and families appreciate that. They understand that this is an ownership group that has completely and totally changed the culture of the Boston Red Sox and built it into one of the preeminent franchises in all of Major League Baseball because of the commitment to winning.
Trade sets you up financially to pursue Mookie next winter in free agency. Do you think that you'll be able to try to go after him among the other teams?
Yeah, we can't talk about a player with another organization, but if you look back to 2002, the Red Sox had been in the top 5 of payroll. This club will have a payroll at or above $200 million. These guys have never, ever shied away from spending when appropriate, when strategic, for trying to win in October.
Live on the left. So Red Sox fans might look at it and say, this guy's such a great player, just pay the man whatever he wants. I'm wondering, in the last year or two, was there a point where you looked at it, you got too uncomfortable with maybe what he was looking for, you just realized that it wasn't going to happen, and that risk, the offseason, is going to turn more into basically, you know what's going to happen because you're not willing to pay that?
Well, you know, Lou, this trade gives us a lot of flexibility going forward. And we've been in this position before. John alluded to the trade we made with when we traded Nomar. We have made unpopular trades. They haven't all turned out right. But hopefully, you know, we'll look at this trade and see the benefits of it as time goes on. We have made and did make repeated, we had repeated conversations with Mookie over a number of years to try to hold on to him for the length of his baseball career, and they just, they didn't work out. But we also understand, as John said, that in the short run this is going to be painful. It's painful for us, but it does give us flexibility.
When did you, how close did you come to sign Mookie? Was there ever a point where you came close? And when did you just, you know, was it a month ago, was it 2 months ago, that you just decided that it was time to move on? And did you address it, did anyone address it with the players this morning?
I'm not going to comment on specific negotiations other than to say that Mookie and his representatives definitely know of our desire to try and make Mookie Betts a part of the Red Sox family for life. That's for sure. And so we'll leave it at that. And again, express our gratitude. He leaves Boston a World Series champion, an MVP, a great person, and a great player. And as it relates to the decision to sort of move on, that wasn't made until the deal was consummated. Because again, there was a lot of back and forth with the different clubs involved, and we really weren't sure until the very end that a deal would actually happen.
Did you address it all this morning in the address to the players?
No. Sean on the right.
For John and Tom, at the end of the season, you talked about it being a goal, not a mandate, to get under the CBT for this season. and further added that that had been known to you for more than a year. Given that, why green light the spending that went on after last offseason, including $213 million to two pitchers with some durability issues, knowing that Mookie was coming to free agency and that this was going to be something you needed to confront?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those decisions on those pitchers before these conversations. As we've said, we were hoping.
If I may, you did say we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John, about being under the CBT. That was last September.
But we've also said, Sean, that that was a goal, not a mandate. We have been under the CBT some of our years. We've been over the CBT in some of our years. And the more important issue for us is what is it that we can do to make the Red Sox strong in 2020, 2021, 2022. These decisions, there are lots of hypotheticals here. We are pleased with the value that we got back from the Dodgers. We might not be having this discussion. We might have proceeded under different sort of scenarios, but we are where we are based on the proposal that we agreed to.
Pete, you guys have spoken about the value you received back from the Dodgers. How much debate was there in comparison to that, and how much value would have been to have Mookie for another season and weighing those two against each other?
Certainly a big consideration.
How closely do you feel those values are to each other?
Better question for baseball ops.
And the other thing I wanted to ask, all three of you have talked about being good baseball fans. How concerned are you that Mookie Betts leaving your organization is going to be part of your legacy along with the championships and the other things that you've done, that you let this homegrown superstar player get away?
Yeah. As I said, we faced this in 2004, I believe. Very similar situation. And we're charged with making tough decisions and having to do what we think is in the best interest of the club for the long term, not just this season.
Buster, back left.
Just to follow up on what Lou and Dan asked, you hear from a lot of fans, they wonder if at some point you guys went to Mookie and said, hey, we love you, what's it going to take, and that you got that number in front of you and made a decision based off of that.
Buster, I'm not sure what exactly the question was. Sorry.
Was there at any point when you guys were talking with Mookie's camp, did you guys get a number from his camp? This is what it's going to take. Your decision at that point.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of fans want to know based on the Red Sox and the resources.
Yeah, I think it would be wholly inappropriate to discuss any specifics of a negotiation of a contract with a player. So we just will reiterate that we made it clear from our perspective that we wanted Mookie a part of our organization for his entire playing career, and unfortunately we weren't able to get something done. And you know, again, we thank him for everything he did.
All right, so this is going to continue for a while, and of course we'll stay on top of it and see if anything else happens, but we've been listening for almost 25 minutes now, and John Henry spoke first, heard from Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and there's a lot to get to with what we've heard so far, McCone. John Henry's opening statement has been released in the form of an official statement from the owner of the Red Sox. We could do a lot of time just on that.
No question about it. I think everyone, when this Mookie Betts trade went down, thought the same thing and said, Stan Musial, when he was getting recruited by Mexico, similar situation to this.
It's just like when they traded Nomar. It's the exact same feeling.
Same situation, right?
Yeah. The same thing. And not to mention all the talent that they received in return.
Yep.
I think that is what is placating people today.
A scumbag with a broken back. Perfect.
Can't say that word. No. Did you dump him? Did you dump him? Oh, you got dumped.
I thought we could say that now.
You can't say that. You can't say that. Good. I'm proud of you, though.
Thanks.
All right, we'll step aside here, and then we'll take your calls. 617-779-0985. It's Hardy and McCone in for Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Another great presidential themed artist here.
Yeah.
Jackson 5.
Love it.
Happy President's Day, McCall.
Happy President's Day.
It's a big one.
Really so, excited to be celebrating with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for you to, like, make mention of the fact that if it weren't for me, you wouldn't be here all those years ago.
No, you're not wrong.
As we wait for the thing to begin down in Fort Myers. We don't know who's going to be there. Apparently, three people are going to be speaking. It's not a picnic table, normal thing. This is going to be a... or does the picnic table take place tomorrow? John Henry, I thought that was always like a Tuesday thing.
Yeah, I thought it was at the picnic table.
Maybe they're looking forward to like maybe a slow news President's Day. Get this thing out of the way. Get out in front of it. There's too much talk going on.
See, now a classic Red Sox move here would be that John Henry knows this is going to be a tough press conference, right? He's got to answer a lot of tough questions.
Yeah.
So are those two seats for like Big Papi and Pedro next to him? You know what I mean? Hey, guys, look at this.
Flanked by two of the greatest of all time. Yeah. Pedro, get in here. So as soon as that begins, we'll bring it to you here. But Tim McCone is here today because many years ago, there was a contest looking for the next Sports Hub talent. And we did a couple of them. One year, I forget who the first winner was.
McCarthy.
McCarthy won it the first year.
Yeah.
But as part of your final audition, you had to sit down and do 30 minutes of radio alongside yours truly.
Yep.
And you and I did it. One night it was downtown. It was at a bar. It was late. It was like a Friday or Saturday night, right?
Yeah. Yep. I was the second one to go. And then McCarthy went third. And then I got a bunch of texts from everyone being like, yeah, you didn't win. No shot. And so I knew going in that McCarthy had won. So I lost.
Right.
And then I was lucky enough to get an email being like, you can come in and still do headlines.
Right.
So really high bar here at the Sports Hub, obviously.
Yes. Well, you passed a multi-stepped and phased audition.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.